Hey, Lighting. Have you heard?
Welcome to Barnes & Noble!
No! I have not.
The Truck Show. We're gonna show you what we know. We're gonna answer what the truck. Cause truck rides with the truck show. We have the lifted, we have the lowered, and everything in between. We'll talk about trucks that run on diesel and the ones that run on gasoline.
The truck show, the truck show, the truck show, whoa, whoa.
It's the Truck Show with your hosts, Lightning and Holman.
This episode of the Truck Show podcast, Have You Heard? Is proudly presented by Nissan with the Frontier, Titan, and Titan XD. Nissan has a truck for every need, along with the legendary Nissan durability. Test drive your next truck at a local Nissan dealer today, or point your browser to NissanUSA.com, where you can use the build and price tool to configure a Nissan truck that fits your lifestyle.
And when you're thinking about adding power or improving fuel economy, Banks has over 65 years of experience. Whether it's cold air intakes or exhaust systems, tuning, throttle control, charge air cooling, lubrication components, and much more, no one offers smarter, safer, 50-state emissions-compliant performance parts than Gale Banks. You'll find the best engineered parts for your truck at BanksPower.com. Holman, you were somewhere doing something secretive.
No, not really. I went to Utah to drive the new Ford Ranger.
Oh, so that you went there and back in like 20 hours, didn't
I think
you?
30 hours or something like that, yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah, it was a quick turnaround. But I had a chance to drive both the regular Ranger and the Ranger Raptor. And so I got some seat time with the chief engineer for Ranger. And So I've got some seat time with the chief engineer for the Raptor program, including Ranger. We've obviously had Juan DePena on. I'm talking about the regular Ranger. Mm-hmm. I will say this. The Ranger is incredibly nice. It drives so smooth, so nice. I was really impressed with the driving dynamics. And we drove. It was snowing for part of our drive and raining for part of it. We're on these twisty roads and super composed. Very little NVH, great seating position. Mirrors are giant. They're almost too big. I'm like, what the heck? These mirrors are huge.
Why do you think they made them so big?
I have no idea. Maybe because for towing and stuff. Okay. It has a decent tow rating and all that. And we've talked about all that in the previous program. But I will say I was super impressed. One thing I did like is the dash. The current Ranger dash, that Klingon forehead thing, is so old looking.
Klingon reference, yeah, everyone.
And the new dash, super modern. Looks great, and there's a big screen, kind of like on your Ram TRX in the middle, that is a vertical orientation, right? So it's portrait and not landscape.
Yep.
So what they've done is the center console is not much wider than that screen, so they've carved a lot of space out to make the center console real narrow, so that your knee isn't banging up against the inside. There's a lot of knee room for you bigger guys out there. And
because it's a narrower car. I mean, it's not a full-size truck.
It's a mid-size truck, right, yeah. But it's grown a little bit. And it just was a really nice drive. We did not have a chance to drive the 2.7-liter V6. Those are coming later. We only drove the Turbo 4s, which are the 2.3. And I will say, compared to the GMs, I was impressed, even though we were at altitude in Salt Lake City, probably as high at times as 6,500 feet, something like that. Mm-hmm. Less turbo lag than the 2.7 in the GM truck.
So some decent altitude compensation.
And I feel like the transmission was a lot more responsive. The GMs kind of suffer from a little bit of turbo lag and a little bit of trans laziness, like where it's not as crisp shifting, where the Ford felt a little bit quicker and a little bit more responsive. Plus the chassis and everything just
felt great.
Wasn't
hunting for gears at all?
No, the 10-speed was great. I thought it was great. The only thing that I noticed that I did not like was the ESS, the electronic start stop. Mm-hmm. You could catch that four cylinder in a certain moment where it would shudder. Like if you...
Oh, really?
Yeah, where it would start up, and if you're at a stoplight, it was a little slower, like half a second, not a lot, like half a second slower than I wanted it to be. If I didn't wait for it to fully fire up and I got on it, it would just like shudder a little bit.
It allows you to turn it off though, right?
So yeah, you can turn that ESS off, but you have to do it every single time you restart the vehicle with the key, which sucks. The other thing I'll say is the screen is really crisp. Sync 4 is really great. Again, the engine's super torquey, felt great. Again, seat comfort was just okay for me. It was really hard for me to find. They look like they're great, and I just couldn't find a comfortable position.
No Nissan Frontier is what you're saying.
It's not as good as the Zero Gravity seats. And I thought the shifter was kind of dumb. It was one of those shift. Well, no, I mean,
dumb.
Just the way the way it's shaped and the way you have to use it. You can't just get in and use it. It's like one of those ones that's like a computer shifter, It moves mechanically,
like the,
but
like the new Tahoe. And
yeah, it's like that. Yeah. So you, well, the Tahoe's a push button. This isn't a push button. This is an actual shifter on the console. It's not like your traditional shifter where you push a button, pull it into gear. It's push a button for park, pull it back for drive, but you have to have it depressed. Manual mode is on the side of it. It just wasn't ideal. I didn't love the shifter. That being said, interior is really nice, really roomy. The backs of the seats are carved out. Rear seat room was great. And love the new Raptor. For those of you who know, I built a long travel Ranger back in the early 2000s, which was like a Ranger Raptor before that ever was a thing. The new Ranger Raptor is awesome. I wish it had a little bit more travel. It has about 10 front and rear, so it is balanced. We'll get into that in a minute. And I wish I had a little bit bigger tire. 35 would be perfect. It rolls on 33s. Wasn't a liability at all on the trails we were on. But for me, man, a 35, especially when you can get the Colorado AV edition.
Well, how does a 33 look? Does it look undersized?
No, it's fine. I
don't like the squint. Like,
it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. Really? I wish it had, for me personally, I like a little bit more tire because where I go out in the desert, I will take all the ground clearance that I can get. So I was able to grab Carl Widman, who's the Ford Performance Chief Engineer. He oversees the Raptor programs. And we had a chance to sit in a brand new Ford Ranger Raptor and talk about the product.
All right, so I'm out in beautiful Utah, and I'm sitting in the hotly anticipated Ranger Raptor, and I finally had a chance to drive it today. We just got off a course. We did a simulated Baja course. We did a handling course. We did a jump. And we did a kind of a mountain off-road, more of a overlandy sort of a thing. And sitting with me is Carl Widman, who has a lot of words in his title, which means he's a really important guy. You guys have heard him on the show before talking about the Raptor R for the F-150. And since he's all things Raptor, I think, what is it, chief engineer?
Yep.
All right. So this is the guy who touches everything Raptor, knows everything Raptor. And Carl, you may not know this, but back in the early 2000s, I had a 2002 Ranger FX4.
Okay.
Before they called it the Level 2. So before you guys bastardized the name on it. And I turned it into a long travel pre-runner. It had a Dixon Brothers Racing, 14 inches of travel in the front, 17 in the rear, Bilstein 8100s at all four corners. Supercharger, so it was a 4-liter with Explorer Express blower and the stick.
There you go.
So I've had a bunch of Rangers. You may know the history of me with Raptor and Levine with Raptor and his previous life, my current life with the big truck and kind of the fun headaches we may have caused back when the original one came out. So Raptor is near and dear to my heart. Ranger is near and dear to my heart. And now you finally brought over the second generation Ranger Raptor to the United States. I want to hear all about it.
Yeah, no, long time coming. It's like two Christmases rolled together to get the Ranger Raptor into production for North America. It's always been something that we knew was going to come. It was third in line. We finished off the Bronco Raptor. It was going on at the same time as Ranger Raptor globally was finishing off. So that's why you'll see a lot of similarities in the setups, right? We use the same over 400 horsepower, 3-liter in both products. We actually were doing a development here in the States on all the engine work, and we were running Ranger Raptors through Glamis at the same time we were running Bronco Raptors to make sure the cooling systems were robust for, 39 degrees C, ambient stuff. You're the only ones out there in August in the middle of the desert doing that. So it's we always were kind of knew it was coming. We knew we had to launch out of the global plant first and then bring it into Michigan Assembly second. And so we're finally got that done. It is everything it can be, a tremendous amount of power, a nice tight package. As you drove it into the woods, it's just, it gives you another track you can take. You can choose your line a lot more.
For example, if you get into a Bronco Raptor or a full-size Raptor, you may be in the ruts of the vehicle ahead of you. With the Ranger Raptor being a little bit narrower, you kind of drift outside of the ruts or go on either side of it and still be within the trail, which is nice. And I just wanted to, for people who are asking, when the original Ranger Raptor was announced as a global vehicle on what, the T5 platform?
T6.
T6. And everybody wanted that to come to the United States, but it was never federalized. There's enough changes to the, I guess, the front structure and some other things to bring that truck over here. that it wasn't going to be easy at that point in the life cycle to make that a reality. So now the new platform comes out, and you guys had U.S. market in mind from the beginning, so yep. It was a lot easier to incorporate it. And some people may ask, well, why Bronco Raptor and why Ranger Raptor if they're on the same chassis, and why 33-inch tires when the Bronco Raptor gets 37s? And I think I'll kind of throw what my thoughts are, and then you can kind of put color on it or tell me if I'm wrong, but Bronco Raptor is really like the purest expression of what a Raptor can be, in the sense that it's basically a street legal ultra four car. It's sort of made to go do incredibly stupid, amazing things that a vehicle with a warranty shouldn't do. Whereas the Ranger Raptor is more about the, it feels like more of a long distance race car. It's sporty, it's fun, it's got enough payload for overlanding and loading up the bed, things like that. It doesn't really need the 37s, although I will say I would like 35s, but it works incredibly well on the 33s. And they're just really two different products for two different people. One is probably going to be more of a toy for somebody, and one is going to be a primary daily driver that's garageable.
Yeah, absolutely. As we do all the Raptors, each one of them, we kind of, as we try to explain what we're doing, we kind of treat them as superpowers, right? And so you end up with the F-150 Raptor is the North Star. You know, three generations, all have run Baja, all completed Baja, all drove home, right? Bronco Raptor, like you said, is Ultra 4, and it was a drop the mic kind of thing. We didn't leave anything on the table on that truck. All its axle systems are set up to take its weight and haul it up on one tire and pull itself over and go over the next. So its 3-liter is able to send all that torque to one tire. And in a rock crawling world, we knew the 45-degree approach angle and a big tire was going to be critical. And when you develop the big tire, we needed to be able to take the axles and half shafts to take the big tire. So once you did that, you figured no one would want to order anything but that one. So the Bronco Raptor ended up being, like you said, that pure embodiment of a vehicle that really you got to take to Johnson Valley to do what it's designed to do. There's not many locations on Earth that, you know, really test yeah. that vehicle to drive highway speeds in the desert and then just crawl over boulders. And like you said, what's the sweet spot, and it's a new customer, really, I think, that's able to get into a Ranger Raptor, is it is the go-anywhere vehicle. It's got all the technology of the chassis systems technology we do with Live Valve, so it's the same controller that we use on all three of them. And then for this application, what's really critical for us, we knew that the... From what Australia was doing, what we were doing, we knew it was going to be pinned. We wanted to pin that one as the sporty truck. Everything went into guaranteeing that. And then we were also very, very focused on durability. They run in Alice Springs for 1,000 miles, which is similar to our course. They run tabletops.
Yeah, we had design. Brad on the show yeah. and talked about his experience racing and winning in basically a stock Raptor.
Yeah. When you lay it out, we really wanted to get 10 inches of travel out of it to really have the shock, the ability to work, and get three positions into the damper, right? So we really needed
it. You're talking about bypass zones.
Bypass zones, exactly right. So you get a mechanical bypass zone, plus with Live Valve, you actually get the boost valve. So what was super critical is at least having three zones, so when you can ride it on the highway, you get that beautiful ride capability that you can get out of a big damper for a truck that doesn't have a lot of unsprung mass.
Yep.
And that was super critical for us. And then it's got a good approach angle around 33 degrees because with the platform change that it went through, they pulled the front tire forward. So it's got a better approach angle than an F-150 Raptor. And it really works well with the truck. So there's really no need to upsize to get approach angle out of it. So we're able to keep a 33 on it, still have good running clearance, like 10.7 inches of running clearance. And we're able to still get that travel so we can dissipate the energy and the shock, which is the best place to dissipate the energy because it's going to really get it out in heat, right? In essence.
Rather than jarring the chassis or setting that G-load or shock load into either the drivetrain or the occupants.
Yep, you got it. And then really that's about our driver-focused world and for performance. We really want to have you've got gobs of power, right? So now you got as much power as you can throw down, right, at 405 horsepower, right? And then you can position the wheel. You still got, you know, this looks like a wheel out of a Raptor, right? They're all the same. Yep. And then you can spend the time positioning the vehicle. You know the chassis can really take care of all the bumps, all the whoops, and really dissipate it with that that damper that's electrically controlled. It knows what you're doing.
And also, it all the time. The new live valves are rebound and compression, where before they were compression only, right?
These are still compression only
setups.
These
ones are compression on the Raptor. Okay.
Yep. All three of them are compression only. We'll introduce on the 24 model year F-150, we'll introduce that shortly.
I knew it was coming. I wasn't sure where that crossover
These
was.
These are all set up with the live valve technology the same.
So live valve on compression and three bypass zones and shocks. And what's the travel front versus rear?
It's about 10 inches both.
It feels really balanced out there.
Yeah, it is. It works really well for it. And it's about an inch and a half over the base Ranger. So it's unique front shock towers like we always do with the Raptors. You know, shocks, springs, you name it, arms, right? Watts link in the rear. So all the chassis stuff, if you roll the frame out of all three of them, they all are basically changing
their
own systems to really...
Well, let's talk about that. Watts versus Panhard on the Bronco, regular Ranger leaf springs in the back.
Yeah, they all leaf.
Ranger Raptor goes to coils in the back, right? With a Watts or...
Watts. So it goes from a leaf Ranger is a base, then it goes to a Watts with coilovers.
What's the advantage of a Watts versus the setup on like the Bronco rear?
Yeah, so the Bronco rear, a little bit better for articulation on the axle for rock crawling, because we have a larger travel. It's like 13 and a half in the rear. So we twist the axle more on that. A Watts, better for steering. Better steering control, better lateral control of the tire patch. So it works in this application. And then on the other application, it's rock crawling. You really want to get something you can twist a little bit more.
I was amazed. I think that my takeaways are, having driven some of the competition's trucks, the turbo's not laggy. It feels like there's plenty of torque. The 10-speed transmission is very responsive. Just the sporty feel of the chassis, it's dynamically, it's very, very responsive, especially for having a true all-terrain tire. Now, you guys went to BFG's KO3s, which everybody wants them, and they're not out yet aftermarket. You got to wait till spring or summer, but if you want them now, you got to go buy a Ranger Raptor when they're available. But with a true all-terrain, even driving on the pavement for the short amount we did out here, it was raining. Then it snowed, and then it melted. And this is like, if you guys are familiar with like desert where you get hard pack that gets greasy on top, that's how all these tracks were. And we were going at, you know, 30, 40, 45 miles sideways through all these turns. And it was absolutely a ride. I was actually, everybody was kind of worried this morning, oh, it's going to be real slick out there, real greasy. I was actually excited because one of the things with the newer vehicles that have like an electro-hydraulic steering system is sometimes you can go faster than the steering can keep up. Well, we're seesawing that thing, going around corners, setting up the chassis, getting into position to power out of the apexes and things like that. And the steering was linear the entire time. It was amazing.
Yeah, a lot of time spent on tuning the shock systems, the brake systems, the steering systems to work together, both between my teams in North America, working with the teams in Australia. They're all, you know, they're all symbiotic, right? They talk through the idiosyncrasies of how you do the valve stacks and the shocks. You can get both sides working for you. And then, because it's all doing it every millisecond, you can compensate as you go. We have ride height sensors on each corner. So not only do you get the mechanical advantage of having bleeds as you roll, but you actually can clamp down on it. And then the rebound control in this truck has a lot of rebound control to give it that sporty feel.
Yeah, and I've said this on the show a gazillion times. One of my biggest beasts with every truck manufacturer out there is nobody has enough rebound control. And I don't know if suspension engineers set that up because they're thinking of payload is going to calm it down. But for people in stock trucks who go out and they push the limits and they're doing a, you know, 7/10, 8/10, 9/10, especially in the older, I'll bring up the TRD Pro Tacoma last generation, was notorious for not having enough up travel and way too little rebound to where you would hop in the back or pogo and you'd be facing down with the rear end 2 feet off the ground, steering with the front tires looking at the dirt. And there's so many factory vehicles that don't have enough rebound. You saying that you guys put a lot of rebound into this is bigger than I think what people think, because the experience driving in this type of terrain, rebound's every bit as important as compression. I think people forget about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it has to do with the way you got tuned up as you're going through. You want it durable for off-road and then giving it character. And a lot of the character, we can electrically control jounce and have a lot of capability, a lot of, we call it authority for damping. and then tuning it with a lot of rebound control, or more than we'd use on a rock crawling vehicle, right? Gave it that ability to give it a character of its own that really matches its size. And you know, I think it's going to do well in the market as it has its character that fits as you walk up to it. And it's a surprising, comfortable vehicle to drive on the road.
Oh, too. It's great. It's super comfortable. It's fun to drive, even on twisty stuff. I mean, it's just the whole package is something that's super livable daily. It's got a little bit more power than the Bronco Tune does on it. And I think it's a little bit lighter than the Bronco too. Plus you have 33s. So it scoots. I mean, yeah, it's really responsive on the throttle. You're not waiting for the turbos to come on boil. And we're up here in Salt Lake City, so we're at several thousand feet of elevation, and it's still that responsive. I live at the beach, so I can't imagine like just how much more fun it would be able to drive it zero feet of you know, sea level.
It's a motor that might be a little bit oversized for this one, but
no
right,
such thing.
No such thing, right? But it, you know, it's the most powerful midsize pickup around, right? And so it fits the bill, and you know, you can do all sorts of good fun stuff with it, definitely.
And it still has what, 1550 or something like that pounds of payload. So yep, it's not maxed out on payload by any means, and you can also tow 5700 pound trailer, yeah, something like 5750,
something like that, 5000 something.
Yeah,
and so it's a little bit less than the base Ranger.
Yeah.
But
that's still
Ranger,
more than enough trailer.
Yeah, for what people usually tow with, you can get a couple jet skis behind it, a kayak trailer, small pop-up, right? It depends on what you want to do as your adventure, right? And then all the guys from Australia will always joke, they'll take them to the beach because, you know, that's what you do with them, right?
Yeah. Well, we're sitting here in one. You can hear how quiet it is. These are incredibly quiet. But in front of us is a full-size F-150 Raptor and the new Ranger Raptor. The Raptor, it looks visually big until you see one next to the full size, but it looks really muscular and purposeful. But from, somebody who lives in an apartment complex, has a garage, that urban livability to have a truck that to be able to do all these things and then still go out and have a pretty epic adventure, it really feels like this is really the right time. I mean, Rangers, we know, was out of the market in America for a long time until you guys brought it back, and it feels like it's so ripe for this type of vehicle in the marketplace right now.
Like I said, it's like having two Christmases in one to get it back into the U.S. market. That's been a very successful global vehicle for us, you know, I think it'll do very well in the market and create another group of people who join the Raptor family.
So what's the next Raptor vehicle we should look out for?
Well, I'll put it up to your listeners for what they think they want us to work on next.
Right.
I think everybody's got an opinion on where they want to do the next one. I'd always like to hear what people are thinking on it.
All right. I know we've talked and we've seen on our socials and stuff. There's a few oddball ones out there, like Maverick, which I don't know that you could take a unibody and really do the types of things out here. So maybe a Maverick Tremor would be good enough, because that has turned out to be a vehicle that honestly I wanted to hate, and I can't. It's just, it does what it does really well.
Yeah, no, one of the guys has one of them in the shop, so yeah. No, it's got a look to it and does what it needs to do.
Right on. All right, well, appreciate your time. Thanks for explaining the new Ranger Raptor. I'm super excited because this has been a product that I've been waiting for, I don't know, like 20 years for Ford to finally bring out, and it looks like we got a few more hours this afternoon, so I'm done with this interview. I'm going to go drive.
Okay, thanks, John.
Did you get into any precarious situations while driving?
And driving, I did. No, I didn't get anything precarious. No, I was, you know, listen, Ford is one of those companies that lets you push it, but to a very specific limit. So, like, we were able to jump Raptors, which was awesome, but it was on very controlled circumstances with Hans devices and helmets and all the safety, mm-hmm, and basically saying, do this at this exact mile per hour.
But
and
you
do
were driving
this
in rain and snow.
Yeah,
you
no, it was
got,
awesome. We
you
were
got all out of shape.
So there is drone footage, an in-car camera of me driving the soupy, muddy, like mud handling course that they put out. And I was driving sideways around a corner and the drone came at me and passed over my left shoulder, like over the bed. Like, missed me by feet. I can't wait to see what the camera footage is, because hopefully I'm sideways, like, throwing up mud as that thing flies by me.
Will they give us the footage?
Yeah, they're sending all the journalists. That was one of the things Ford did, was they had a drone crew, an in-car camera, and each driver got their own USB drive. So they're going to edit it up and send it out. So I'll post that on our socials when I get it. but it was one of those things that was like, I'm like in the mud, I'm, you know, on the gas, I'm opposite lock, throttle, and there's a drone coming at me. I'm like, whoa! So I don't know what the look on my face looks like. I probably have my tongue out the whole time or something like that. But my driving partner was a really cool guy named Jan. So a lot of you guys probably follow him on Instagram, 395 North. Give him a follow. He's got some photos of us up on his page. And great experience. Love driving it. And yeah, can't wait to get some more seat time in it.
The Truck Show podcast is a production of Truck Famous LLC. This podcast was created by Sean Holman and Jay Tillis with production elements by DJ Omar Khan. If you like what you've heard, please open your Apple Podcast or Spotify app and give us a 5-star rating. And if you're a fan, there's no better way to show your support than by patronizing our sponsors. Some vehicles may have been harmed during the making of this podcast.